ద్వితీయముండకే ద్వితీయః ఖండః ఆవిస్సన్నిహితం గుహాచరన్నామ మహత్పదమత్రైతత్ సమర్పితం ఏజత్ ప్రాణం నిమిషచ్చ యదేతజ్ జానథ సదసద్వరేణ్యం పరం విజ్ఞానాద్ యద్వరిష్టం ప్రజానాం యదర్చిమద్ యదనుభ్యోనుచ యస్మిల్లోకానిహితాలోకినశ్చ తదేతదక్షరం బ్రహ్మ స ప్రాణస్తదు వాంగ్మనః తదేతత్ సత్యం తదమృతం తద్వేద్ధవ్యం సౌమ్య విద్ధి ధనుర్గృహీత్వౌపనిషదం మహాస్త్రం శరం హ్యుపాసానిషితం సంధయీత ఆయమ్య తద్భావగతేన చేతసా లక్ష్యం తదేవాక్షరం సౌమ్య విద్ధి ప్రణవో ధనుశ్శరో హ్యాత్మా బ్రహ్మ తల్లక్ష్యముచ్యతే అప్రమత్తేన వేద్ధవ్యం శరవత్తన్మయో భవేత్. యస్మిన్ ద్యౌః పృథివీ చాంతరిక్షం యస్మిన్ ద్యౌః పృథివీ చాంతరిక్షం ఓతం మనస్సః ప్రాణైశ్చ సర్వైః తమేవైకం జానథ ఆత్మానం తమేవైకం జానథ ఆత్మానం అన్యావాచో విముంచథ అన్యావాచో విముంచథ అమృతస్యైష సేతుః యస్మిన్ ద్యౌః పృథివీ చాంతరిక్షం ఓతం మనస్సః ప్రాణైశ్చ సర్వైః తమేవైకం జానథ ఆత్మానం అన్యవాచో విముంచథ అమృతస్యైష సేతుః అరా ఇవ రథనాభౌ సంహతాః యత్ర నాడ్యః స ఏషోంతశ్చరతే బహుధా జాయమానః ఓమిత్యేవం ధ్యాయథ ఆత్మానం స్వస్తి వః పారాయ తమసః పరస్తాత్ అరా ఇవ రథనాభో సంహతా యత్ర నాడ్యః స ఏషోంతశ్చరతే బహుధా జాయమానః ఓమిత్యేవం ధ్యాయథ ఆత్మానం స్వస్తి వః పారాయ తమసః పరస్తాత్. యస్సర్వజ్ఞస్సర్వవిత్ యస్సైష మహిమా భువి దివ్యే బ్రహ్మపురే హ్యేషః వ్యోమ్న్యాత్మా ప్రతిష్ఠితః యస్సర్వజ్ఞస్సర్వవిత్ యస్సైష మహిమా భువి దివ్యే బ్రహ్మపురే హ్యేష వ్యోమ్న్యాత్మా ప్రతిష్ఠితః ఓకే, సో ఇట్స్ ఎన్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ మంత్ర. ద హోల్ బాడీ ఈస్ ది ఎంటైర్ బాడీ ఈస్ కనెక్టెడ్ టు ది మైండ్ అబ్టైనింగ్ విద్ ఇన్ ది హార్ట్ అండ్ త్రూ ది నాడీస్. So just as the hub of the wheel is connected to the rim of the wheel through the spokes, So also the entire body, all organs are associated, connected to the mind obtaining in the, within the heart through the nadis. Thereby what happens? Because of the association of the body with the mind, the whole body becomes conscious and sentient. You have to understand, the body does not have consciousness of its own. Body does not have sentiency of its own. Which means, body is the physical body, of course, consisting of skin, flesh, muscles, bone, nerves, blood, etc. You can say. And you can reduce them to chemicals. Further can be reduced to chemicals and elements. And this physical body is nothing but modified form of the elements. So it's an elemental product. So pancha bhautikaha dehaha, pancha bhautikam shariram. So this body, what is this body? This body is of the nature of inertness. What is meant by saying inertness? There's no such thing called knowledge of existence on the part of the body. There's no knowledge of self-existence on the part of any elements. There's no knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. So the space doesn't say I am space. There's no knowledge of self-existence on the part of air or fire or earth or water. There's no knowledge of self-existence. So no, water does not say I am water. This knowledge of self-existence being not there on the part of anything alone is looked upon as inertness. It is inert. There's no self-consciousness, there's no self-sentiency, self-awareness on the part of anything in the world. Therefore, the body being modified form of the elements, an elemental product, the physical body does not have consciousness of its own, sentiency of its own. It is of the nature of inertness. But still this body is alive, conscious and sentient. And it is functional, it is active. When I say physical body, every organ which is well packed within this body enclosure, the whole systems, all the organs, the heart, lungs, kidneys, etc., bile, whatever it is, all the organs contributing for the maintenance of this physical body, all of them are so nothing but the element of the nature of inertness, but they're all functioning now. So functioning because of that alone, life is possible. And the function, without the functioning, life is not possible. They're all functioning and they have to function means, and who is instructing them? There's none to instruct them. Oh heart, you do the job of circulation. Kidneys, come on, you do the job of excretion. No organ is instructed by anyone. All of them are functioning on their own. They're all now involuntary. No? The involuntary functions are happening. They're all functioning. And we know how important it is to maintain the health of the whole body, their functions. And the functions are happening means, on their own, their functioning means, they all must be endowed with some knowledge how to function. There's also knowledge involved. The heart has knowledge how to function, do its job of heart's job. The lungs have knowledge how to do its job of lung. So every organ is blessed with adequate knowledge to do its function without being instructed by anybody else. And that knowledge we don't see through physical eyes. That knowledge is called manifest knowledge. I'm telling you something very important. Listen to me. See, the knowledge without being instructed, without being told by anybody, all the organs function on their own. And that functioning is possible because of the knowledge. Every organ is blessed with adequate knowledge to function, to be what it is. And that knowledge, we don't see through physical eyes. That knowledge is said to be manifest knowledge. And it was, so where do all these physical parts or inert parts, how do they get knowledge? Where do they get knowledge from? And that manifest knowledge is because they're associated with the mind. Okay. All the organs become conscious and sentient. Thereby, they're able to function. And that innate, inborn knowledge, because of the blessing of which alone all the organs function as whatever they have to, they are what they are. And that is because of the manifestation of knowledge, because association with the mind. So it is mind which alone, conscious mind alone lends existence, consciousness, sentiency to all the organs, all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions. The whole, that is how the whole entire body is conscious and sentient because of its association with the conscious mind. And how does, what about the mind? Mind also is subtlest matter. The mind also is of the nature of inertness. Mind does not have knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am the mind. There's no knowledge of self-existence on the part of the mind also. The mind also is inert, subtle matter. But still, how does mind become conscious and sentient? Because mind has the, mind being subtlest matter is capable of manifesting consciousness. There is manifestation of consciousness in the mind, because of which alone mind becomes conscious, sentient, functional. Thereby, the mind is like the moon on a full moon day. The sun, mind, the moon doesn't have light of its own. Moon borrows the light from the sun, and the reflection of sun in the moon illumines the world on a full moon day. You know, we say, who is the illuminator on the full moon day? Moon or sun? We think moon. Moon is the illuminator of the world on full moon day. Of course, moon is the illuminator, but still, moon does not have light of its own. The sunlight reflected on the moon alone illumines the world. Okay? On a full moon day. Therefore, moon borrows the sunlight and lends the light to the world. Similarly here, mind doesn't have consciousness of its own, sentiency of its own. Mind becomes conscious and sentient because of the manifestation of consciousness in the mind. Therefore, the conscious mind, from the conscious mind, the rest of the body borrows its existence, sentiency and consciousness. That is how the whole material body, mind's complex become conscious and sentient, which means there is consciousness which is distinct from the mind, which is not distant from the mind. And that consciousness alone is symbolized by the silence following Makara and the Omkara. Okay? That is the understanding. So here, and that consciousness alone is said to be the Atma. What does that Atma mean? I told you, the reality, we say this reality, the truth, is implied by the term Atma because of its nature. There's no word which can really directly reveal the consciousness. Any word and every word used to mean or imply the consciousness is a word revealing the reality in terms of its nature, including the word consciousness. So you arrive at it as there is something. What is that? That is what is abstract, formless. And that is what is implied by the word consciousness or knowledge or Atma, Brahma, etc. Why Atma? Because this reality obtaining in the form of consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness. There's no time, there's no place which is not pervaded by consciousness. And therefore, being all pervasive, it is there as the innermost essence of every individual being, every creature. And it is available for recognition only in the human being as the content of I, as the truth of I. Therefore, it is meant by this, implied by the word Atma. This is very important. Why consciousness, the reality, obtaining in the form of consciousness is implied by the term Atma? Because of its nature of all pervasiveness, thereby obtaining as the innermost essence of every creature, every being, is implied by the term Atma. Therefore, if the truth of the I is this consciousness implied by the term Atma. Therefore, the right identity is in saying, in understanding the fact, I am Atma. Okay. This much, with this understanding, let us go to the verse mantra today again. It is said, in the previous mantra it was said, Dhyayata Atmanam. Araivarathana bho samhata samhataha yatra nadyaha sayeshontas charate antaha charate bahudha jayamanaha. One and the only consciousness manifest in the mind alone is there as the seeing power, as the hearing power, as the power of smelling, as the power of taste, the power of activities of all organs of actions. And also, thereby what? In also in the mind also, the knowledge, the cognitions of varieties of objects, the knowledge of sound heard through ears, the knowledge of forms seen through eyes, the knowledge of smells known through nose, the knowledge of touch known through the skin. So, all varieties of all knowledge is what? Varieties of cognitions. Cognitions pertaining to different objects all rise in the form of thoughts in the mind, and all those cognitions are nothing but manifestations of consciousness. Bahudha jaya, one and the only consciousness, appear to be many cognitions being manifest, being reflected by the thoughts, thoughts pertaining to external objects. Okay. The thoughts are many pertaining to the many objects. And in each and every thought, there is what? Manifestation, reflection of consciousness. The reflections of the only consciousness are many because of the reflecting media in terms of thoughts are many. And there, physically, you can't separate the consciousness and the thought, inseparable. But you have to cognitively discern the consciousness. And then what? Om ityevam dhyayatha atmanam. So this atma obtaining the form of consciousness is what? Is the substance or the substantive om. I mean absolute substance. And the womb and that consciousness alone in this in the form of the gross universe, subtle universe, unmanifest universe, that is also implied by this one sound symbol, om. Thereby what happens? Swaha swasti paraya tamasaha parastat. So we understood already, to cross the ocean of samsara, reach the shore of moksha, this is the means. We have seen, understood all that in the last class, because this shifting one's identity from anatma, body, mind, sense complex to consciousness, and to have the ascertained vision of this atma in spite of making use of the body, mind, sense complex, in spite of transacting in this world, making use of this body, mind, sense complex also, one has to distinguish this one's own self being, this consciousness, Atma. So only for the purpose of transacting in this world, we must include body, mind, sense complex in this I. Otherwise, to for one's happiness and security, one must exclude the body, mind, sense complex from the I. Consciousness alone should be claimed as one's own real nature. And this didn't happen overnight. See, shifting, dissociating association from anything is not that easy. It's very, very difficult. Okay. Associating the external world, it is very difficult. Dissociating one's association from the family itself is very difficult. And then you have to dissociate your association from the body and the mind. It's very, very difficult. Dissociation is not physical. It's a cognitive, intellectual. Therefore, to shift one's identity from the body, then to mind, that's the sense organs, and finally to pure, formless, abstract consciousness in terms of Chaitanyam is not that easy. Not easy. Therefore, it is, of course, there must be effort on our part. We also need tremendous grace of Bhagavan. We need tremendous grace of Bhagavan along with our efforts. There must be prayatnaha on our part, and we also require anugraha, Bhagavan's anugraha. Prayatnaha, anugraha. Together are required for this great job of shifting one's identity, I sense, from anatma to atma. And this anugraha, to tap Bhagavan's anugraha, first of all, we also need guroho anugraha. To tap guroho anugraha, you also need shastra anugraha, shastra kripa, guru kripa, bhagavat kripa. We need everything. We need shastra's grace also. And you must have that so much punyam to be inclined for the study, for studying the shastram, and to study the shastram with the appropriate teacher. And all this is there, you will have abundance of Bhagavan's grace also. So shastra kripa, guru kripa, bhagavat kripa, we need all that. That is why the only way of tapping Bhagavan's grace, to have shastra kripa, to have guru kripa, thereby to abundance of Bhagavan's kripa also, one has to intensely, fervently, prayerful, worshipful, with the commitment to live a life of universal values, dharma. There's no shortcut method at all. Prayerfully, worshipfully, one must be committed to live a life of universal values. That's the only way tapping, only way possibly one can invoke Bhagavan's grace. Therefore, and Upanishad here, therefore we have the blessing of Upanishad. What does Upanishad say? Baha Swasti. Upanishad does not say how we should practice meditation all. Upanishad says, Atmanam Dhyayatha. May you dwell upon your own essential nature, ascertain your essential nature, and claim your nature being pure consciousness implied by the term Atma. So for, see, claiming consciousness as your own Surupam is for your happiness and security. Okay, and unafflictedness. Whatever is happening in the world externally, still you can be 100%. You can always have the luxury of reveling in your essential nature without being afflicted by external situations at all. You can be objective. Objectively, you can just enjoy your freedom without any affliction. It is Jivan Mukti. And for that, but in day-to-day transactions, when to be in the world, you can include your body, mind, sense complex with the consciousness as a meaning of the word I. But for moksha, for your security and happiness, essentially you are pure consciousness, Atma. There's a distinction must be there. So may you, but it says what? May Atmanam Dhyayatha. May you all meditate upon the Atma as yourself and claim the Atma as yourself, thereby enjoy that freedom. Upanishad says, Vaha Swasti. See, it's a words of blessing from Upanishad. Very beautiful. Okay. On a very auspicious day, we're all getting Upanishad blessings. You know that? Vaha Swasti. Vaha Swasti means what? May there be auspiciousness for all of you. The word swasti means auspiciousness. May there be auspiciousness for all of you. May there be success for all of you. So may this effort of having this journey, okay, may this effort involved in the spiritual journey, may all your efforts involved in the spiritual journey of shifting your identity from anatma to atma become absolutely successful at the earliest. We are getting words of blessings from Upanishad, because Upanishad knows it is not that easy. Why? It's like a journey, you know. You have strong eye sense in the body, and shifting eye sense from the body is not that easy. And somehow you repeatedly you see this body is an object of knowledge, and it's from the sense organs, the organs of actions, and shifting the identity from the mind is much more difficult. And you're becoming objective towards one's own mind, and thereby just seeing oneself as a mere formless atma, the consciousness, not an easy joke. That is why it's like a journey. Okay, it's moving from the grossest body to the then subtle pranamaya, and pranamaya to the manomaya, manomaya to the vijnanamaya, vijnanamaya to anandamaya, anandamaya to anandaha. It is like a journey. Okay, so it says paraya svahaswasti. Svahaswasti. May there be vaha means for all of you. May there be success. May there be auspiciousness for all of you. Success in your effort of going through the journey, spiritual journey of shifting your identity from anatma to atma. For what? Paraya. For reaching the shore of the ocean of samsara, for reaching the shore of moksha, in terms of this ocean of samsara, in terms of moksha, the shore of the ocean of samsara is moksha. So for reaching the shore, the moksha of the ocean of samsara. And here, the distance between yourself and your goal, you know, what is the distance? That does, of course, there is a goal which you have to reach. There's a destination which you have to reach. And usually in physically, there'll be distance, isn't it? But here, between this absolute end called moksha, And you, the one who has to accomplish the goal, end, between you, the distance is not physical distance. There's no time-wise distance. There's no spatial distance. Okay? Between you are the spiritual aspirant, and moksha is your ultimate goal. And between you and your goal, there is no physical distance. There's no time-wise distance. There's no spatial distance. And this distance is in the form of ignorance. Therefore, between you and Bhagavan, the distance is ignorance. There's no time-based distance, spatial distance between you and Bhagavan. There's no distance between you and moksha. There's no distance between you and Yaswarupam. There's no distance. Ignorance is the ignorance caused distance alone is there. Therefore, that is why samsaraha, this beginningless, endless life of transmigration, the cycle of births and deaths, in terms of transmigration, is known as samsara sagaraha, is also known as ajnana sagaraha. The ocean of samsara is known as ocean of ignorance. And that is what is meant by the word tamasah parastat. Do you see the word tamasaha? Tamasah parastat. Means tamasaha parastat, going across the ocean of ignorance. Got it now? Hope you're all with the mantra. See the word now? தமசகா பரஸ்தாத்து மீன்ஸ் கோயிங் அக்ராஸ் தி ஓஷன் ஆஃப் சம்சாரா இன் டர்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஓஷன் ஆஃப் இக்னரன்ஸ். தமசகா மீன்ஸ் தமசகா சம்சாரஸ்ய சம்சாராத் தமசகா பரஸ்தாத்து. So going beyond the ocean of ignorance in terms of samsara sagara, ocean of samsara, paraya, for reaching the ocean, for reaching the shore of moksha, shore in terms of moksha, vaha swasti, may there be auspiciousness for all of you. With this, Upanishad blesses all of us. So Vaha Swasti is a Upanishad conveys bond voyage to all the spiritual people in the journey, spiritual journey. You completed that, no? Araiva Rathanabho Samhata Yatra Nadyaha Sayeshontas Charate Bahudha Jayamanaha Omityevan Dhyayatha Atmanam Swasti vah paraya tamasah parastat. It's a beautiful blessing we got from Upanishad today. Let's move on to the next mantra. Yas sarvajna sarvavit. Yas sarvajna sarvavit. Yas seisha mahima bhuvi. Yas seisha. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. To break this mantra, yaha sarvajnyaha sarvavit yasya yeshaha mahima. Yasyesha mahima, to break it, yasya yeshaha mahima bhuvi. Divye brahmapure hi yeshaha hyeshaha vyomni atma. ஆத்மா வியோம்னி ஆத்மா பிரதிஷ்டிதஹ வியோம்னி ஆத் ஏஷஹ ஆத்மா வியோம்னி பிரதிஷ்டிதஹ திவ்யே பிரம்மபுரே ஹி ஏஷஹ வியோம்னி ஆத்மா பிரதிஷ்டிதஹ. நவ் ஹேவிங் பிளஸ்ட் அஸ் இன் தி ப்ரீவியஸ் மந்த்ரா, நவ் உபனிஷத் சேஸ் நவ் ஹவ் யூ கேன் அரைவ் அட் தட் ஈஸ்வர ஸ்வரூபம் ஏ பகவான் the truth of the whole universe. Cosmos of 14 worlds is given the status of being the Lord of the universe as Ishvara. That truth you can arrive at it as yourself. How you can arrive at it? That is given, the secret is given here in this mantra. Okay. Now first Upanishad begins with the glorification of Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha means who? Understand the one without whose blessings, whose presence, the universe cannot exist at all. The one because of whose presence in the form of blessing alone, the whole universe enjoys exist. Therefore, who is given this qualification of Karana Ishwaraha, Jagat Karaneshwaraha, Karaneshwaraha. Okay. Now that Ishwara, glorification of Ishwara is presented in the very beginning of the mantra. Sarvajnyaha, Sarvaviti, Yeshaha Bhuvi Mahima, Tasya Ishwarasya. So all glorifications. Then Upanishad says, how that Ishvara is available as your own Swarupam. Okay. So, what Upanishad says in this mantra, hey, come on, Bhagavan is not at all away from you. You must be with this mantra, okay? Bhagavan, you are searching for, you're supposed to discover, is not at all away from you. Where is Bhagavan? First Upanishad says, Bhagavan is in you. Then Upanishad says what now? Not even in you, Bhagavan is you. It will start saying, Bhagavan is in you, then Bhagavan is you. Yourself. Therefore, what about this physical body? This physical body is the temple. The physical body is like a temple. Dehaha devalaya proktaha. And the physical heart is the physical heart is there, and within that physical heart, this mind, which is the sanctum sanctorum of the temple, garbhagriham. And in that, Bhagavan's, the formless reality is there in the form of consciousness, which symbolizes the murti inside that sanctum sanctorum. The formless consciousness is the Lord, symbolized by the form inside the sanctum sanctorum. So, pure consciousness is Bhagavan. The mind obtaining with the physical heart is the sanctum sanctorum. The physical body is the temple. And the rest of the layers of personality are like the different prakarams of the temple. And I want you to remember beautiful sentence always. Bhagavan, no teacher can ever miss this sentence. Ahamatma guda kesha sarva bhutashaya sthitaha. Ahamatma guda kesha sarva bhutashaya sthitaha. Sarva bhuta sarvesham bhutanam ashayeshu sthitaha asmi. Ashayaha means mind. Okay. Sarvesham bhutanam ashayeshu aham sthitaha asmi. Arjuna, I remain in the minds of all the beings. Okay. That you can say the 20th verse of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This line comes. And in fact, this the same teaching is, in fact, given in this mantra also. Same teaching means what? The Bhagavan is available for recognition in the mind. That particular fact, Bhagavan being available for recognition in one's own mind is the fact. That fact is revealed in that 20th verse, and that fact is revealed in this mantra also, revealed by this mantra also. But first, before taking you to that fact, Upanishad presents the glorification of Bhagavan. What does Upanishad say? Sarvajnaha. Who is this Bhagavan? Sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha means what? Omniscient. Bhagavan, as the truth, is the source of all knowledge. Omniscience. Sarvajnaha. Then sarvajnaha. So sarvajnaha means what? Knowledge of the paravidya and aparavidya. Okay. All knowledge of all disciplines, all branches of all sciences. Bhagavan as the reality is the only source of all knowledge. That Bhagavan is omniscient. Because no knowledge exists. Any knowledge has to rise in the form of a thought only. Knowledge of anything and everything has to rise in the form of a thought, cognition. The cognition involves two factors. One is a thought aspect and consciousness aspect. Without consciousness, thought cannot even exist. And with the, of course, the thought and consciousness. See, the consciousness is dependent on the thought to become a cognition. So without consciousness, pure consciousness alone cannot become cognition knowledge. And pure thought without consciousness cannot even exist. Therefore, the 22 aspects are there. There can be manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, all knowledge, the source of all knowledge is what? Consciousness only. Therefore, it is said, sarvajnaha. So, all knowledge means the source of the one and the only source of all para and apara vidyas. The knowledge of the material world of objects, knowledge of the truth of the world also. Then, yasya mahima bhuvi. Yasya mahima bhuvi. Mahima means, again, glory. What, anything praiseworthy, anything glorifiable, anything great, the greatness, the glorifiability of anything and everything, praiseworthy of anything and everything is because of Bhagavan. Therefore, it is all the glories, any glory, any greatness, any praiseworthiness of anything in this world is actually Bhagavan's. Therefore, in this world, bhuvi, in this world, whatever we're experiencing, whatever we're enjoying is nothing but glory of Bhagavan. Yasya, whose glory alone, whose greatness alone is experienced by all of us in this world. Yasya, mahima, bhuvi. Therefore, is what is said to be bhuvibhutihi. So, if somebody is able to sing well, dance well, draw well, study well, understand well, anything is possible, that excellence on the part of anyone is only because of the blessing of Bhagavan in the form of presence of Bhagavan. It is not what is that with which, with the help of which alone, in any given individual is capable of accomplishing something. Is all because of Bhagavan's blessing. That's what we say. Any talent, any skill, any excellence and a part of anything is Bhagavan's glory, is Bhagavan's vibhuti. Yasya mahima bhuvi. Now, you ask, okay, the sarvajnaha sarvavit, that Bhagavan, yasya mahima bhuvi, one whose grace, whose greatness alone we're experiencing in this world means, where is that Bhagavan? Where is that Bhagavan? Now that is then such a highly glorious Bhagavan, whose glory alone is experienced in the world, that Bhagavan is available for recognition in the Brahmapuram. Prabhupada says next month, I can see the next word. Yes, sarvajnaha sarvavit. I'll come back to the word sarvavit. Yes, seisha mahima bhuvi. See, sarvajnaha means one who has the knowledge of the paravidya is also because of Bhagavan. The one who, and then knowledge of apravidya also is what? All knowledge in detailed knowledge also, you have outside of Bhagavan. So, sarvavit, sarvajnya, both words mean the same. But still, sarvajnya stands for knowledge of the truth of the whole. And sarvavit means knowledge of the details of everything. Detail knowledge of everything. It is sarvavetrutvam. Now, yasya yeshaha mahima bhuvi. In this world, whatever you're experiencing is the glory of Bhagavan, the greatness of Bhagavan. See, mahima is a masculine gender word. Because mahima, don't take it as strilinga shabda. Okay? It sounds like a mahima. It sounds like a feminine gender word. But it's actually mahiman shabda. It's a masculine gender word. Therefore, yeshaha mahima Bhagavataha Ishwarasya Eva Bhuvi. In this world, everything is greatness and glory of Bhagavan. Okay. And that Bhagavan, Divye Brahmapure Vyomni. Yeshaha. ஏஷஹ ஆத்மா. ஏஷஹ ஆத்மா மீன்ஸ் வாட்? இட் இஸ் ஆல் பர்வேசிவ் ரியாலிட்டி அப்டெய்னிங் அஸ் த இன்னர் மோஸ்ட் எசன்ஸ் அஸ் த நியரஸ்ட் செல்ஃப். Nearest self is what? Eshaha Atma. The word Eshaha, you say Bhagavan means Saha, we say. But Eshaha means what? This. This Atma. This Atma means what? This nearest self. Nearest self means obtaining as the innermost essence, as the very content of I. This Atma is that Ishwaraha. Where is this nearest means, nearest self means where? Vyomni. Vyomni means what? In this space. And which space is it? Hirdayakashaha. See, Vyoman, Nakaranta Shabda. Vyoman means space. But Vyoman here means the space obtaining within the physical heart. These auricles, ventricles, you have this physical, there's a space within the physical heart. It's called Vyoman. And then even within that space, you can't see through physical eyes. That is what? The Indriyam called mind. And in that mind is the space. In the mind is the place. See, mind is not the place where Bhagavan is located. We understand Bhagavan is all pervasive. That's why Atma, Eshaha Atma means this all pervasive, abstract reality, consciousness. Available for recognition in the mind obtaining within the physical heart. Yomni. And that mind is called what? Brahmapuram. Okay, where is Brahmapuram? Brahmapuram is our own mind, which is the sanctum sanctorum is the Brahmapuram. Yomni, the space within the inner space within the physical heart. Okay, Atma Pratishthitaha. Atma has been installed as though. Okay, Atma has been installed as though. Pratishthitaha. It means what? You cannot have coronation. You cannot have the consecration. Consecration of a temple is called Kumbha Abhishekam, is it? Kumbha Abhishekam is consecration of the temple. In fact, we can only perform the consecration of the newly built temple outside. But the real temple coronation has been already done by Bhagavan himself. Why? Because the Murti has been already installed. But the Murti is what? Amurti. Okay. The formless consciousness has been installed in the mind, as it were, in the minds of all the people. The sanctum sanctorums, the minds, obtaining within all the bodies, the temples. Consecration is already over with, done by Bhagavan himself. Therefore what? Now, when the glorification of Ishvara obtaining in the form of consciousness in one's own mind as the innermost self is what? Atma Prashamsa. Bhagavat Prashamsa becomes Atma Prashamsa. Glorification of Bhagavan becomes self-glorification. But you say self-glorification means what? Without including body, mind, sense complex. Okay, we distinguishing the consciousness. Then you look at the consciousness as the Atma. Then that puja becomes Atma Puja, Atma Mahima, Atma Prashamsa. You're what? Ishvaraya Namaha. You can say what? Antaratmane Namaha. Antaratma Rupaya Paramatmane Namaha. Antaratma Rupaya Paramatmane Namaha. Salutations unto the absolute self obtaining as the innermost self. Same. It is the meaning. For Brahmapuram is what? Now, the physical body, if you can say, the physical body is the Brahmapuram. And why it's called Brahmapuram? Because a temple. This is what all Indian temples are constructed. based on this fact, okay, the physical body is Brahmapuram. You cannot give a better name for physical body, okay? Brahmapuram. You see, Ishwarapuram, abode of Bhagavan. Residence, Bhagavan does only here? No. Bhagavan is all pervasive. But if you want to meet him, you have to come to this Puram only. I mean, you want to have this, available recognizability is only here in this Brahmapuram called physical body. Within that, there is Antaka, physical heart. Within the heart, there is a space. In that space, there is mind. In that mind, Bhagavan is available for recognition, name of all cognitions. And then this law, fine, last cognition is what? What is that one cognition without which any other cognition is not possible? I cognition. Okay. For you to have the knowledge of any object in the world, first of all, you must know you are. If you do not know you are, how can you have the knowledge of what else exists in the world? So knowledge of self-existence is the first and the foremost of all cognitions, all knowledge. Knowledge of self-existence obtaining in the form of thought is the first and the foremost of all knowledge, all cognitions one must have. And only then any desire, any emotion, all other thoughts which constitute the mind, emotions, all the cognitions which constitute the intellect, even all the thoughts pertaining to memory, all of them are possible only if there is this knowledge of self-existence. So I am. You know you are. Know what you are. Where does this knowledge I rise from? Where does it exist and where does it resolve? And that is the truth of the I. That's the truth of the I. You would have seen, sometimes when people do the pujas, finally they'll take akshata and the flower and they put it on their own head. You know why? Bhagavan residing in this temple of physical body, in this Brahmapuram, within the sanctum sanctorum of the heart, the mind, there Bhagavan is there as my own real nature consciousness. Unto that Bhagavan, my namaskaras. That is why you would have noticed some Vaidikas doing this. They take a flower, finally they'll also put on head, on their own head. Why? Initially you can say, Bhagavan is in me always. Then you must say what? Bhagavan is myself, my essential nature. So, invocation of Bhagavan in a given form, okay, invoking the grace of Bhagavan in any given form is only for the temporary purpose. Externally, outside, you invoke a formless Bhagavan in a given form, solid, tangible form, only for a temporary purpose. And we perform also what? We perform the puja. We offer the puja. We offer oblations. We offer prasadams, naivedyam. And we also, what? We also do the abulation. Abulation means abhishekam. Abhishekam in English is abulation. It's, bathing. We do this ritual of abulation, abhishekam also. Using milk, honey, chandanadi, dravyas. Okay, with all this, we do abhishekam also. And a murti, we can do this. Imagine if you pour honey on her head. Next day, you will come out with a white hair. So you can't do abhishekam on your own self. Only on a murti, you can do abhishekam. Anyway, what I want to say, and after the puja, we also say what? Yathasthanam pratishtha payami. Then you do the visarjanam also. We say, okay, Bhagavan, you came, very nice. You sat in this puja. you accept my puja, you were there in this form, now you can please go back and remain wherever you are. This is all we do in our pujas. Really speaking, what is actual meaning? Bhagavan is always there as your own Sarupam. Yes, Sarvajna Sarvavit, Yes, Sesha Mahima Bhuvi, Divye Brahma Pure, Yesha Vyomyatma Pratishthitaha. So, now understand. When you understand where does this I rise from, where does this I resolve, in the mind also, varieties of thoughts are there. All these thoughts actually contribute for different emotions, memory, cognitions, etc. All of them are possible only if there is knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Therefore, this I cognition is looked upon as the dead end of the mind, beyond which no other cognition is there, and beyond which that thought, what is available, is only formless, abstract consciousness. The consciousness is the source from where the I cognition rises, I cognition exists, I cognition resolves. Therefore, the source of I is consciousness. Therefore, you have to say, I am consciousness. Once in the wake of the energy of I am consciousness, you can understand all the cognitions are also nothing but consciousness. Therefore, the knowledge does not, the world of objects does not exist outside of the cognition's knowledge. The knowledge does not exist outside of pure consciousness. Therefore, it is this pure consciousness lends existence to the entirety of the world of objects, including the mind. Now, see, if we have to clearly understand the location of Bhagavan, the truth of the entire cosmos, the spiritual aspirant has to choicelessly go through certain stages. Okay? And the stages involve what? Especially, say, Shastram can say four stages. Three stages or four stages. So one has to enter into the religious life. And then, in the religious life, of course, understanding is Bhagavan is, when a person enters into the religious life as a spiritual aspirant, and his understanding is that Bhagavan is located somewhere invariably. Bhagavan is what? Definitely distinct beyond this world. So people can talk about different lokas where Bhagavan is. And we give different names also. Kailasam, Vaikuntham, etc. Different names are also given by different people. And that Bhagavan, the truth of the essence of the universe, cannot be away from the universe. Why? If Bhagavan is the cause of the universe, how can the cause be away from the effect? It cannot be. If the cause is not here, effect cannot exist. The effect in the form of world is, means Bhagavan, the cause, must be inseparably with the same world. The gold is definitely inseparably with the ornament. The ocean, the water is inseparably with the ocean. Similarly, Bhagavan, the Jagat Karanam also, must be inseparably with this world alone. Therefore, what? Bhagavan is there in this world, pervading his entire world in and through. This is the first understanding. Then the second stage. When a person goes to the second stage, he understands what? If Bhagavan is, first understanding is, Bhagavan is in the form of the whole world. This is the first stage. The second stage of understanding is, if Bhagavan is in the world, okay, if Bhagavan is very much here in this world as its very essence, ఈ భగవాన్ ఈజ్ ఇన్హరెంట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. ఓకే, భగవాన్ మస్ట్ బి, భగవాన్ ఈస్ ది ఇస్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అస్ ఇన్సెపరబ్లీ ఫ్రమ్ ద వరల్డ్. సో భగవాన్ మస్ట్ బి వాట్? ఇన్హరెంట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. దిస్ ది అండర్స్టాండ్, సెకండ్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్, సెకండ్ స్టేజ్. దర్ ఫోర్ అండ్ వాట్ థర్డ్ స్టేజ్ పర్సన్ హ్యాస్ టు గో త్రూ? సో భగవాన్, ఈ సెకండ్ థర్డ్ సెంటెన్స్, ఈ భగవాన్ ఇస్ ది కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్. ఈ భగవాన్ ఈస్ ఇన్సెపరబుల్, నాన్ సెపరేట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద యూనివర్స్. భగవాన్ ఈస్ దేర్ ఇన్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్ ఆస్ ద వెరీ ఇన్హరెంట్ ట్రూత్. దెన్ వాట్ మై నెక్స్ట్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్? వేర్ ఆమ్ ఐ? ఈ భగవాన్ ఈస్ యాజ్ పార్ట్ అండ్ ఈస్ దేర్ యాజ్ ది పార్ట్ అండ్ పార్సల్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ హోల్ వరల్డ్. I as an individual am an integral part of this whole world. I as an individual am not outside of the world, not away from the world. I am part of, integral part of this whole world. Therefore, Ishvara, who is pervading the world, who is in this world, must be pervading me also. The Bhagavan must be there in me also. This is the third level of understanding. Bhagavan must be there in me also. Bhagavan must be there pervading me also means there the person has the person has identity with the body, mind, sense complex. And he says Bhagavan must be there in me also means the person implies his body, mind, the ignorant person, he implies the body, mind, and complex. Okay? This is the third level of understanding. So Bhagavan is the, I'll repeat it again, very important lesson. See, Bhagavan is the cause of the universe. Therefore, Bhagavan is non-separate from the universe. If Bhagavan is non-separate from the universe, Bhagavan is very much present in this universe, in the form of the universe. If second level, Bhagavan is inherent in this universe. If Bhagavan is inherent in this universe, I the individual am non-separate from this whole world. Therefore, the Bhagavan who is in the world must be within me also. When a person has this understanding, this person must be within me also, what he implies is the body, mind, sense complex. Then, this third level, still this ajnanam is there, but some progress is there in understanding Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is pervading my body, mind, sense complex also, then that Bhagavan must be there as what? The essence of the individual also. Bhagavan as the cause pervading in as inherent reality of the whole jagat, is the essence of the whole jagat, must be the essence of individual also. That is my essence also. Jiva Swarupam also must be the individual. Bhagavan is the Jagat Swarupam. Ishvara is the Swarupam of the Jagat. Then Bhagavan, Ishvara, Bhagavan must be the Swarupam of the individual also. Therefore, Bhagavan is that only truth obtaining as the essential nature timelessly of this whole Jagat must be the essence of me also. And when this is the third level of understanding of Bhagavan, this is where we have to jump. Okay, from this third level of understanding, we have to make a big leap. Big leap means what? This is the concluding leap, final leap. From here, you have already leaped from body, and then the understanding is now Bhagavan pervades the whole body, mind, sense, complex. But where is this Bhagavan? How is Bhagavan available for recognition? I have no doubt at all. I am part of this whole Jagat. I'm integral part of the whole Jagat. Therefore, Bhagavan, who is inherent in the whole Jagat as the essence, must be inherent in me also as the essence. This is the third level of understanding. Therefore, finally, the Bhagavan is in me means Bhagavan is me. When a person discovers the fact, I am Bhagavan. I am Ishwaraha, Ishwaroham. This is the final understanding or final level of understanding of the Bhagavan. There's no fifth. Okay, fifth level of understanding is not there. This is the fourth level of understanding, the final level of understanding of Ishwara. Now, when you say Bhagavan pervades the whole Jagat, I am part of the whole Jagat, therefore Bhagavan pervades me also. In and through the entire body mind complex. And here, when we confine to this third level of understanding, that Ishwara is, Bhagavan is within me. That is when, next, we have to think, if Bhagavan is within me, then what happens? The physical body is like a temple. The physical heart with the mind becomes sanctum sanctorum. And within that, within the mind, Bhagavan is there as what? Bhagavan is everywhere, but available for recognition in the form of pure consciousness, Chaitanyam. Therefore, the Upanishad gives a beautiful name to this body, mind, sense complex as Brahmapuram. Okay, the Brahmapuram is a physical body, is Brahmapuram. Physical heart is Brahmapuram. Rantakanam is Brahmapuram. Therefore, in the mantra it is said, in that Brahmapuram known as Hridayam, heart, and which is said to be what? Divyam, Divyaha Vyoma. Divye Vyomni. Actually, Vyomani na, Vyomni is the conventional language. Vyomni. In that space, in the divine space. Why is divine space? Because it is place where Bhagavan, in the name of consciousness, is installed, as though installed. Therefore, it is a divine space, sacred space. Divye Vyomni. The word Divye must go with the word Vyomni. In the divine sacred space, obtaining within the heart, Ishwara is as though installed. Nice, we have seen already. And the consecration of that Bhagavan obtaining within this sanctum of the Antahkaranam has been already done. Okay, from the time the fetus got formed in the mother's womb, as soon as the heart became formed, now, it's just one small tiny cell starts growing. All the forms, all the limbs become full. All the limbs grow gradually. And when the heart becomes formed, when the heart is formed, when the heart starts functioning as a full-fledged being, a full-fledged baby, tiny little baby's body, with the proper formation of the heart, that time itself, even before that, when the heart is in an undifferentiated form within the tiny little cell also, in this fetus also, Bhagavan is already installed. Okay? In an invisible, non-recognizable form. Then the heart becomes full-fledged heart. Then when the full-fledged body comes out, then it grows further. It takes so long for us to discover the fact that all pervasive truth is available for recognition only in that human mind. As the truth of the first person singular pronoun, I. Therefore, there's no need for us to travel to any loka. In fact, one of the beautiful words, I always teach this Nanamatrayam, Om Achyutaya Namaha, Om Anantaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. Now, what is the meaning of that mantra? Achyutaha na chyavate iti achyutaha. One who does not slip away. The pure consciousness never slips away. Isn't it? The thoughts come, thoughts go. Cognitions come, cognitions go. But consciousness doesn't go and come. The one that which does not slip away is what? Achyutaha. Ever the one who is always there has a very pure existence in the form of knowledge. The word Govinda means what? Go means knowledge. The one who is of the nature of consciousness is Govindaha. One who is of the nature of existence is Achyutaha. And Anantaha, it is his consciousness existence which is free from all possible limitations, time limitation, spatial limitation, and object limitation. Therefore, Anantaha. So, Achyuta Ananta Govindaha, the beautiful nama, mantra. You cannot do a better, you can't chant a better mantra than that. That is the reason why it said, the three mantras. Namatraya is actually the beautiful namatraya. Revealing the nature of Bhagavan. Each word reveals the nature of Bhagavan. Okay. This is the meaning of this mantra. Next mantra we'll go to. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. Yes, yesha mahima bhavi. Divye brahma pure. Yesha vyomnyatma pratishthitaha. Now this mantra is what? Already Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Aikyam has been established. The essential oneness of Bhagavan, individual and the total is beautifully brought in. Therefore, this is also Al Mahavakya Mantra. Manomaya Prana Sharira Neta Pratishthite Pratishthitone Hridayam Sannidhaya Manomaya Prana Sharira Neta Pratishthite Thitone hridayam sannidhaya tadvijnanena paripashyanti dhirah manomaya prana sharira neta pratishthitone hridayam sannidhaya tadvijnanena paripashyanti dhirah ananda rupam amrutam yadvibhati Manomayav prana sharira neta. I request all of you to try to memorize these mantras. Manomayav, especially the mantras of second section of second mundaka. Manomayav prana sharira neta. Manomayav prana sharira neta. Pratishthitone hridayam sannidhaya. Pratishthitone hridayam sannidhaya. Tadvijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha. Tadvijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha. Anandarupam amrutam yadvibhati. Anandarupam amrutam yadvibhati. Manomayaha prana sharira neta pratishthitaha anne. Pratishthitaha anne pratishthitone. Visarga sandhi, I won't say anything, you try. You can make out. Hridayam sannidhaya. So hridayam sannidhaya prana sharira neta manomayaha anne pratishthitaha. Tad vijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha. Anandarupam amrutam yad vibhati. This is also another beautiful mantra. Understand the literal meaning today before we conclude the class. See, in this eighth mantra or second section also, same teaching is repeated. Don't tell me I am repeating. Okay. The same teaching is repeated means the content is the same, idea is the same. But new different words are used. Differently, it is taught, the same teaching is given. So what it is still again, see this verse, Deho Devalaya Proktaha. Yeah, now hereafter you will have a reverence for your own physical body. The physical body is temple, no doubt. And the physical heart, having the mind within it, is what? Is the sanctum sanctorum. And Bhagavan, all pervasive, Bhagavan, the truth of the whole jagat, is available for recognition in the form of consciousness in your mind. Therefore, Bhagavan is as though installed in the mind of, not, in fact, you can say Bhagavan is really there as the very, in the form of pure consciousness in every mind. So Bhagavan is already there installed in the minds of all the beings. Okay. This is the teaching again repeated in this mantra. Okay. So, but different qualifications are attributed to the Atma. What are the qualifications? Manomayaha. Manomayaha is one qualification attributed to the Atma. Another qualification is what? Prana Sharira Neta. Prana Sharira Neta. Okay. So Manomayaha means what? Please don't think consciousness is not taken to be the mind. Consciousness is that which is available for recognition in the mind. Consciousness, which is the mind, the consciousness is that in which the mind is soaked. Okay, which means the mind is inert mind. The inert mind having manifestation of consciousness, as though it is soaked in consciousness, the mind also becomes conscious mind. Therefore, consciousness which lends consciousness, which lends existence, lends sentiency to the mind, being manifest in the mind, is known as what? Manomayaha. Manomayaha. And there's no mind, no thought, no cognition which is not in and through pervaded by consciousness. Just as any opaque thing shining in the presence of light is in and through pervaded by the light, so also every thought, the arriving, departing, every fleeting thought is in and through pervaded by consciousness. All the thoughts together constitute the mind. Therefore, mind is, consciousness is said to be what? Manomayaha. Mind is not only mind is now, consciousness also is really completely soaked in the mind. Mind actually, because of this pervasiveness of consciousness, mind becomes conscious and sentient. When people make pickles, you know, and they cut and put this lemon or gooseberry in the salt, the soap, and remaining in salt for a long time, it becomes soaked in that salt. It absorbs all this salt. It becomes salty. But similarly here, this mind being inseparable from consciousness becomes conscious and sentient. But there, I don't want to give that such examples will confuse you. But here it is distinct, but not distant. It's like the opaque thing in the light. My thoughts are in the consciousness. And Manomayaha. Next is, this conscious, next qualification is what? Prana Sharira Neta. Consciousness is said to be Prana Sharira Neta. Manomayaha, we have understood the meaning. Why it's called Prana Sharira Neta? Because பிராண சரீரம் மீன்ஸ் சூக்ஷ்ம சரீரம். ப்ளீஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் த வேர்ட் பிராணா இன் திஸ் வேர்ல்ட் மீன்ஸ் பிராண சரீரம் இஸ் ஈக்வல் டு ஆஸ்ட்ரல் பாடி. ஆஸ்ட்ரல் பாடி மீன்ஸ் சட்டில் பாடி. சோ பிராண சரீரம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? சூக்ஷ்ம சரீரம். பிராண சரீர நேதா மீன்ஸ் இட் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் பை இட்ஸ் மியர் பிரசன்ஸ் பை லெண்டிங் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் சென்சியன்சி டு த மைண்ட் தேர் பை இட் லென்ஸ் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் சென்சியன்சி டு ஆல் சட்டில் 10 பவர்ஸ் அண்ட் தி பிராணாஸ். தட் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் அலோன் என்லிவன்ஸ் தி என்டையர் சட்டில் பாடி. Now, all the sense organs are functional as sense organs because of the consciousness and sentience lent. All the organs are, all 10 organs, pancha jnana indriyani, pancha karma indriyani, pancha pranaha, all functions are possible only because of the conscious mind, because they're all associated with the conscious mind, and which is conscious because of the consciousness. Ultimately, the one who enlivens, leads, gives life, lends existence for the entire consciousness, the subtle body is consciousness. Therefore, Atma is said to be Prana Sharira Neta. Prana Sharira Neta. And when the time comes, when the Parabdha comes to an end, okay, we think, I tell you, the COVID disease or some heart attack or that disease, this disease or something eating wrong. All these are nimittam, only instrumental for the any jiva to leave the physical body. Jiva means the subtle body leaves the physical body. That is when the body becomes dead. Body becomes the inert, like a piece of log of wood. Because Sukshmaram has to leave, the Parabdha gets exhausted. If the Parabdha is not over, 100 years, 200 years also, the person will not leave. So all the diseases are only instrumental for the Jiva, for Sukshmaram to leave. We must be careful, we must be prudent, we must take care of our health, etc., no doubt. But the departure of the Jiva, the mind is only happens only when the Parabdha gets exhausted. Sometimes because of abuse of will also, it happens, but it's a papa karma, but naturally death happens because of the exhaustion of parabdha karma palam. So when the sukshma shariram leave the physical body, even for the sukshma shariram to leave the physical body also, it needs what? It has to function. Even then, that which lends the capacity, power to sukshma shariram to lead the physical body also is Atma. It's only because of the blessing of this all-pervasive consciousness, the subtle body is able to leave the physical body. While living in the body is also, it has the blessing of consciousness. To leave the body also, it has the blessing of consciousness. And to enter into another body also, it has the blessing of consciousness. Because consciousness is all pervasive, timeless. It's always there, everywhere there. Okay. So, when the subtle body leaves, as soon as the subtle body leaves, a mind with all sense powers leave the physical body, immediately the body is dead, like a log of wood. Therefore, Sukshma Shariram is a blessing for the subtle gross body. So, even though consciousness is there in the dead body, but consciousness does not bless the gross body directly. Consciousness becomes manifest in the subtle body, thereby it blesses the subtle body, thereby indirectly consciousness blesses the gross body. The physical body does not have direct blessing of the consciousness, only through the subtle body. Therefore, even though consciousness, all pervasive consciousness is there in the gross body also, unless No, the mind is there, it cannot become manifest. When the consciousness is an unmanifest form in the gross body, like how consciousness is an unmanifest form means imperceptible form. Consciousness is ever imperceptible, non-recognizable. Okay. Consciousness being the very truth of the mind, truth of the I, it is non-recognizable in everything. See, when you see a piece of wood, that is why in Tamil we say thunilum irupar, thurumbilum irupar. There's no place, no time, consciousness is not there. Consciousness does not pervade. Every piece of wood, everything is in and through pervaded by consciousness. So also the physical dead body also is pervaded by consciousness. But the consciousness can be recognized only if it is manifest. The pure consciousness is non-recognizable. It has to become manifest. The mind is the manifesting media through which you can recognize consciousness. In fact, wherever life is, wherever the plant body, animal body, or a human body, mosquito body, or amoeba paramecium body, every body where there is life, there are functions. Where there are functions, you understand consciousness is manifest in the form of knowledge backing the functions. Knowledge backing the order. The consciousness is recognizable only in living beings. In non-living things, consciousness is, but non-recognizable. Okay? Consciousness is all pervasive, means in living beings and non-living things, everywhere consciousness is pervasive, but still in living beings, consciousness is recognizable because it is in the form of manifest knowledge backing the order involved in functions. The knowledge backing the order involved in the functions. Okay? Non-living things, consciousness is not recognizable. So because it is non-recognizable, we should not mistake it for non-existent. Okay? In non-living things, consciousness is not absent. Non-recognizability of consciousness in non-living things should not be mistaken for non-existence. This expert said, Anne, Anne means what? This physical body. And this Atma, which is given the qualifications of Manomaya, is given the qualification of Pranamaya, which is said to be the Pranashirira Neta. This Atma, Manomaya, Atma, Pranashirira Neta, Atma, Anne, Hridayam Sannidaya Pratishthitaha, installed in the heart. Pratishthitaha, anne, within this physical, anne means within the physical body, there is a hridayam, heart, hridayam sannidhaya, okay, as the nearest, the word, I'm going to stop the class now, let me tell you one word, please wait, sannidhaya, hridayam sannidhaya, means in the physical heart, in the mind, pratishthitaha, is installed. I'll stop here because this mantra needs more unfoldment, which I'll do next class. Is it clear? This is the style of the teaching. I'm not repeating. And Hridayam Sannidhaya Pratishthitaha. And Dhiraha Paripashyanti. Wise people recognize this fact. How do they recognize? That has to be unfolded, which I'll do next class. Okay, next class will be a class of unfoldment. Wise people recognize that Atma installed in one's own mind. How do they recognize? The next class is going to be the method of arriving at consciousness, distinguishing it from the body, mind, sense complex. The main class we'll do it next class. It's all the time now. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate ओम शांति 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 ही हरि ही ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ही ओम।